This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Don't chew on that, Max.
Cooper loves that chew, too.
Oh, now he's into Cooper's food. Wow, he is loving it. What do you feed Cooper?
Blue Buffalo Life Protection Formula. He never leaves a crumb. I love it because it's made with high-quality protein, nutrient-rich fruits and veggies, and wholesome whole grains.
Looks like we're switching to Blue.
Blue Buffalo foods are made with the superior ingredients your dog needs to thrive. Can your dog food say that? Visit feedbluefood.com to learn more.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
Where's Fielder?
He's gone to the dogs.
Welcome once again to the Gone to the Dogs podcast. Your host, Steve Fielder, here with you, flying solo today, and have a great guest for you. I think that you're going to find this one of the most enjoyable podcasts you've experienced. I'm going to stick my neck out on that. My good friend here in Florida, Gary Langford. Gary served as the president of PKC here in our state and is an avid coon hunter and a super guy, encouraged me to contact our guest for this week. And I want to thank Gary publicly for putting that little bug in my ear, so to speak, and encouraged me to reach out to Noble, Arkansas, and talk to an octogenarian, will be 90 years old this next year, Mr. Glenn Young. A lot of people know Glenn over the years. He's hunted with many of the icons in our sport, has a lot of great stories, happened to catch Glenn kind of a little under the weather with his voice, but he was gracious enough to spend an hour with me, and I know that you're going to enjoy this podcast. So without further ado, let's join the phone conversation that I had with Glenn Young of Noble, Arkansas. Remember me or not, we have spoken on occasion over the years. This is Steve Fielder. Do you know me?
Yes, I do, Steve.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. And you and I have a mutual friend down here. I live in Florida now.
Right.
And Gary is a good friend of mine down here.
He's a nice gentleman.
And he really enjoys talking to you. And he's encouraged me to give you a call, which I've thought about for a long time. I would like to record a conversation with you, just a dog talk for a while. I have what is called a podcast. Are you familiar with them at all?
Steve, I don't get them. I mean, I don't think any younger people would be interested in talking to an old man like me. I'm as old as been. I'm be 90 my birthday, and I still hunt. Oh, I've got a sore throat right now, but I generally hunt 3 or 4 nights a week and still hunt some by myself. And all that, but these younger bucks, they done know more than I probably ever did anyhow.
Well, now I understand where you're coming from, Glenn, but I tell you what, I'm 77, so I'm not quite as far along as you are, but I've done these podcasts now since back in May of 2019. And I've, like you, I've got a lot of stories and a lot of memories, and they love it. The listeners to this thing, they love the old stories and the history and all. And don't you ever be dissuaded from telling your stories and relaying your information, because these younger people and older people alike really enjoy hearing from the older hunters. I know when we get older, we sometimes think, well, maybe nobody's interested in what I got to say. But
well,
they really do,
Glenn. The way I feel, Steve, I mean, I'm back when old man Bill Ritchie, he was a good bit older than me, but I was back in the early 60s, around 60s and 70s and 80s. Where I quit the hunt. I never did hunt in a PKC hunt, but I used to go to UKC hunt to eat when I was hungry. I've won my share of them.
Sure.
I've had probably as good a dog as any man ever unsnapped a dog, but Lord only knows I've had my part of the sorry one. And James Merchant used to, he'd get an old dog, he couldn't handle him. I don't know why. He'd get me and Frank Gideon to hunt him for him for a while. And back in them days, I hunted with Tam Young and all the older hunters. Lord, I've met some good people in my time.
I know you have, and they've met one too. I know that I've talked to many people over the years, Glenn, that have hunted with you and know you and respect you. So you've got a lot of good stories to share. What are you, 89 now?
I turned 89 the 3rd of July.
I see. Well, you passed that one like it was, as they say, like it was backing up, didn't you? Well, that's amazing, and you still go coon hunting.
I hunt ordinarily. I don't hunt like I used to. Used to, everybody told me I was the hardest hunter they probably was in Arkansas. I hunted about every night, but I couldn't lace Frank Gideon's boots. You know, where I was hunting, I farmed and I'd go out and hunt. If I got home by midnight, I was in good shape because I felt like working the next day. But now Frank, he done all night.
Oh, yeah. Well, Frank's a good friend of mine, too.
And he's a dandy.
He is a dandy, none better in my view. I've been privileged to be up in, well, I used to live in Michigan when I worked for UKC.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I worked for UKC, and then when I left them after, 16 years full-time, I went to work for PKC, and I worked with them for about 7 years, and then ultimately went to the AKC, and that's where I retired, but I've been retired since back about 2010, I think, but
Steve, far as I'm concerned, there ought to be somebody do a podcast on you if they haven't already, because, Lord, you've done your share of it in your time, and you sure deserve more than some old man like me.
Well, no, that's not true, because, Glenn, I do appreciate that. I really do appreciate your words, and thank you very much. But, you know, I would have never been able to do what I did if it hadn't have been for fellas like you that were out there hunting the dogs, breeding the dogs, coming to the events, doing everything that, you know, makes this sport so great. And it's the people that make it, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Lord only knows, you hear more of the crooks, but thank God the good people are a lot better than the bad ones. You know, more of them yet. And I've met some of the finest people. Well, I've met them. I've been friends with them for 60 years, 70 and like that. And most of my close friends have done died off, and I know I'm real fortunate to even get to go hunting, much less, you know, hunt as much as I do and all, but they lots of good people out there.
Well, there sure is. Now, did you know Wimp Aaron?
Oh, I know Wimp real good. He judged me and James Merchant back in the 60s in World Hunt down there, I think it's Tupelo, Mississippi. I've known Winston for years and years. Yeah. He was a year or two older than that.
Yeah, he was. You know that he has passed now. But I think he was in his 90s already.
I think he's about like 91.
Yeah. So you fellas are the inspiration to me, to guys like me. And, of course, you know, Glenn, that this thing called age creeps up on us awful fast, you know.
Oh, Lord, yeah. I see, my oldest son now is 65, and I turn around and I'm like, where's all the time went?
I know it.
We had five boys, and we lost two of them. My greatest loss in life.
Sure.
I lost my wife 5 years ago. I had probably the best wife anybody could ever have, and life slides right on by, Cole. I mean, ain't nothing we can do about it.
Well, that's it, and just be thankful for every day that we get, you know. And
that's right.
Right. Well, Glenn, I wanna ask you a few things, if you'll let me. Now, I know you said your throat's not feeling good, and I don't wanna aggravate that. But
no. Sinus drain. They told me yesterday. I went to the doctor and had checked out, and everything's all right. Other than sinus drain, it's got my throat.
Yes,
irritated.
I understand all about that, because I've suffered from that for years myself. But listen, where were you born, Glenn?
I was born probably in 6 Mile, where I live now, a little town. I think at one time we was up to about 400 population. Now it's down like 140 something, a little town called Noble, Arkansas.
Noble. Yeah, and you've had a coon club there for a lot of years. Right.
Razorback Coon Club, yeah. One time is the largest coon club in the United States. We had over 1,000 members.
Wow, that's amazing.
And you too, with Joe Harville Hart, Vern Ohio, Don Ranke, and James Merchant, Colonel Joe Blood, all of them. You know, we'd have big huts here, and they'd be parked on both sides of the road, and they'd have campers out there and all. And James Merchant, J.C. Ellis, all of them would be down there, and Joe House, and all them. But it's out now. It's been out now about 2 years.
Well, I hate to hear that because, you know, those clubs were the lifeblood of the sport. You know, without the clubs holding the events and advertising them in American Cooner or Full Cry or Bloodlines and letting people know, and they would come from all over the country, and it was a whole a different situation.
Oh, yeah.
Back then, we didn't have the super highways and interstates and everything else. Did you grow up on a farm or in the country?
I grew up on a farm. I went to farming when I got married in 57, and I made 50 crops before I retired. And Lord only knows I was always poor, raised a big family, and I was out of a big family. But I made 50 crops. I helped my son in for a while. I hated retirement. And when he got daylight, I thought I ought to be in the field.
Yes.
But it was a good life for us. We raised a wonderful family, wonderful boys and all.
That's
but now,
amazing.
Being poor, I was born poor, not die poor, I guess, but we had a wonderful life.
Well, you know, it's not all about money. I saw a little joke the other day. An old boy said he was so poor that they spelled it with three O's.
That's right. I've been there. I remember when sodas was nickel, and they said, son, would you like to have a soda? I said, boy, I sure would, because I didn't have the nickel to buy it.
Well, I know what you're saying there for sure. Both my mom and dad were from large families of 9 kids, each one. My dad was from Tennessee.
10 of us kids.
10. Yeah, Yeah, that is a big family. Well, you learned about...
4 boys and 6 girls.
Oh, 4 boys and 6 girls.
Yeah.
That's great. Are you the surviving one, or do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have
still
a brother that's 91, and I have a sister about 4 years younger than me. Three of us left.
Well, that's great. That is great. Now, this might be personal, and if it is, just tell me go away. Most people recognize you because you wear a patch.
That's right.
Right. How did that occur?
I got my eye put out. I had my older brother. They was twins, and I remember it real well. I was 6 years old, and we were playing cowboy, and then he made a lasso out of a piece of baling wire.
Uh-oh.
And stuck it over my head. Well, we wrapped it around to make a circle to pull it up. It caught me in the eye, and when he jerked it to tighten it up, it cut my eye out.
Oh, my
God. I lost it when I was 6. I wore an artificial eye, a glass eye, for years and years there, and it got irritated. I had several operations, and they never did get it fixed right, so I was wearing a patch.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's distinctive. That's a good trademark for people.
I've been called a pirate, little old kids today. They're, oh, look there, Mommy, there's a pirate. And, you know, it embarrassed him. I just tell him, don't worry about hunting. I've been called out a jillion times in my time. Them kids don't know no better.
No, that's right. They're honest, aren't they, Glenn? That's the thing about
that's right.
Kids.
I something new to
innocent.
Them. Or,
yeah.
And all, it never did embarrass me. And used to, and when I was a young man, my brother started me hunting. When I was 7 years old, he'd pack me on his back across sloughs, and I'd get mad. He'd tell me, he'd say, "Look like you'd pick cotton by using hip boots." I'd have little knee boots on, and I think, "Boy, I ain't going in tomorrow night." And he'd come down there the next night, and he'd say, "Let's go, boy, let's go." I said, "I ain't going." "Oh, come on there, so I'll pack you across slough." But I started hunting with him when I was 7 years old, and Lord, I'm coming down there like Isaiah all over the United States. I think I've come down in 28 states. Wow. And I've had more of my share of the good dog used to raise my family. I'd start a dog. I thought I was as good a dog trainer as I was in the United States.
Yeah.
And I guess other people thought it because it kept me busy all the time.
Why, sure.
But I'd get a dog started running three, and I've sold many dogs. Well, I sold a litter mate brother to Boone Creek Mike called Skipper, and I'd get $10,000 today for him, and which that ain't no money whether selling, but I sold him for $250. I sold him because I need the money to help feed my family.
Absolutely.
And he was a coon dog made of Z.
Yeah.
That's me here and there, but I thought I'd train me another, which I would, but I man-made a lot of them, and them off for feet and all that. The dogs a lot better tree dogs now than they used to be, but they were better track dogs used to. That's where we're short on dogs now.
Yeah, that's changed. You know, it used to be, I remember when the first dogs that I hunted with around the night hunts and all, especially in the Walker breed, and that's been your breed down through the years pretty much.
I've had blue ticks, and I ain't running nobody's breed down, and then the black and tan dog dissatisfied me more than any of the breeds, but that's neither here nor there, because some of them black and tan boys probably don't like the Walkers, but I've had blue ticks. I've had some of the good of blue tick dogs and Moochman boys had years ago.
Yeah.
They had as good dogs I had or anybody else had. I've had awful good English dogs, and they good and bads and all of them, but the Walker dog was my favorite.
Sure. Well, while you were talking about blue ticks there and being from Arkansas, did you ever hunt with Albert Vaughn?
Yes, I did. I didn't care for him most days.
Okay.
He was a large Indian. He was an overbearing type feller. He thought he was a little bit better than, you know, my way of thinking. Now, if I knowed him real good, I might not have thought that. But
I see.
I never did care for him, but he could insult you. And it didn't seem like he had to try to do it. And he had a wonderful stock of dog, but he thought he had the best of where it was, and they might have been, but he hadn't bred them so damn much that he got where they was alligators, and, you know, he just hurt himself what he got.
I see. Yeah, well, you know, when you live in an area with someone, you know, you get to know them probably better than anybody like me from being way across the country. You know, I did meet Albert at the Blue Tick Fall Roundup several years ago at Pine Bluff, and then at Hope. And I believe he was still there when they went to Hope, Arkansas. But with being with UKC, I traveled quite a bit and went to all the breed hunts. So I met some of these fellas. Also from out in your part of the country, did you know Warren Haslauer?
Yes, Smoking I drove River. Warren Hassler with Merchant's Buck. They had a blue tick hunt at Poplar Bluff, Missouri. And Gene Vance, which had the Crown Billy dog,
yes,
Buddy Gilbert got. Buddy Gilbert bought him here when he was young. He gave $900 for him, and all he traded was a red box that night. And me and Gene Vance and Warren Heisler, and Warren got several of his old dogs years ago off old man Bill Uchman.
Okay.
All Gary right. and Ronnie and them's dad,
yeah.
which was a super sure. nice fella.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember meeting all the Mr. Uchman and his boys, all of them. And in fact, I ran into Gary here a few years ago at the White River. I was down at the refuge right. hunting, and he and I happened to get dogs tangled up one night hunting. And while the young bucks went to the dogs, Gary and I sat there and talked for a long time and had a great conversation. Well, Arkansas for years, Glenn, was like, I'll call it the epicenter or the center of coon hunting in the country. All the kennels that they had where they sold dogs all over the country and all. Coon hunting's always been real big in Arkansas, hadn't it?
Oh, yeah, but it's not no more, Steve. I had a guy turn loose on me the other night, first dog that I've heard in our woods in years and years. But now I'm the luckiest man in the world. I got about 50,000 acres of river bottoms, and I don't hear no dog by a thing. Is I hunt out of a boat that bed on the river.
Yeah.
But it's just prime area. But now back when I was young, they were probably more top walker dogs here in 20 miles of me than they've ever been anywhere in the United States. They were 5 or 6. I mean, top dogs. You know,
yeah.
It was as good as anywhere there was in the world.
At that time, and I would say that's right, because you mentioned some of the names already, you know. Was Harold Trusty from Arkansas?
Well, when I first know Harold, actually, I think he was more around your house, somewhere
okay.
over in there. But
okay.
he died in Arkansas, and he lived down south of Pine Bluff there for years. And I understand he went over around Russellville somewhere where
mm-hmm.
he died.
I see.
I didn't know. I know that when I seen him, I talked to him a time or two. But no, I really didn't know him. You know, I never did hunt with him. I hunted with a Tom Tom dog back when Joe House had
mm-hmm.
him. They,
mm-hmm.
He had a piece hook on the end of his tail, and they cut it off. And Joe told someone that somebody shot it off, but they cut that piece hook off the end of the tail.
A coon hunter wouldn't tell a fib like that, would they?
Do what?
A coon hunter wouldn't tell a fib like that, would they?
Well, some would. Anyhow, yeah, I know Darrell. I know Joe House. I know Tony Mathis. And Joe had a cousin was a barber, and I forget his name. But I draw one of them nearly every week somewhere.
Yeah.
And
well, listen, right there.
Joe,
yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I draw Joe, you know, different times, and all me and Joe never did see eye to eye. Of course, I guess I was bullheaded as he was. I don't know. But old House of Chief, he's a tremendous tree dog, beautiful hound, but they changed the walker breeds on account of House of Chief, so Joe showed him on the bench. They raised the height on the walker so Joe could show Chief on the bench, make him do a grin. I never did like that.
Well, and, did you hunt? You hunted with Chief?
About as all them dogs. And they had a dog, Tony Mathis, had a brother too called Chief Hawk. I hunted with him.
Mm-hmm.
This other boy, the dog named Trooper, but I can't remember that boy's name, but I draw him nearly every weekend somewhere down in there.
Yeah.
And I've hunted many a night with the boy had PKC.
Oh, with Jarvis Humphreys?
Jarvis. I draw Jarvis many night at our hunts and all.
Yeah. How far are you from Memphis?
I'm about an hour and a half north. I'm right up toward the northeast corner of Arkansas, up there by the Missouri Boot Hill.
Yes. Yeah. When I was a kid, I lived in Charleston, Missouri, not far from Sykeston. So,
yeah, well, I'm about, about 90 miles south of Sykeston.
I got you. Good coon hunting in there, though. Are you on that Black River? Is that where you are?
Yeah. Yeah, 33,000 acres of land. And what it mounts to, Steve, I got it in like I'm on it. They ain't no season. And don't get me wrong, I violate the law. I always start a young dog and I'd burrow them. And the game wardens had me lucky to have it. I never did pay a fine. I deserved them. But I packed the gun, I shot coon out to the dogs. And I've got now where there ain't no season that suits me good. And I'm all wanting out to see Black River Bottom. And I'm sure they 33,000 acres of wildlife, you know, a piece of game on, and that's besides the people that's got it, joins it. So yeah. I'm talking about like 50,000 acres of prime hardwood oak. No bars, nothing like that. Yeah. The river stays up and kills the vegetation.
Yes.
But,
now that's similar to the way it is down on the White River Refuge.
Yeah, I'm have you the hunted White River down? Refuge. Yeah.
Is it similar to what you hunt?
No, I like mine a lot better.
Well, for the last few years, the White River has gone backwards.
The difference they are, they got roads through theirs. We don't have roads through ours.
I see.
You got walk hunt, or, you know, we hunt in the boat, we'll turn loose, tree one on one side of the river and go get the dog, give him a drink, and pull a boat on the other side and tree one on the other side, then we may go down the river a mile and do it again.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't ever turn loose on a coon. You know, if I see a coon, I just go and bite. Uh-huh. And
out of a boat.
It's wonderful. We treat a mini coon, and my buddy would stand in the boat and shoot the coon out. And don't get me wrong, if they go certain ways with us, the only way to get there is walk.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be walking away from it, but it takes a lot of walking out of it, and it's tricks and rice country, and it's duck country. They claim Stuttgart's the capital of the world, but our duck hunting is actually better than it is down there.
Oh, so do you run young dogs in the rice fields in the summertime?
No, when I was young, I would, because I had more running than they had drilling, and I done them in there to get them so sore they couldn't run much, and then I'd go to hunting them right. But our drive many miles. They have a rice field now.
Yeah.
I don't want a dog in a rice field. It'll cut all the hair off of them. I've had their eyes well shut. You'd have to take a rag and soap them, water and soak them to get them open. I hate running in them. But now, you can take 100 acre rice field and you may run in it all night long.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine that. Mm-hmm.
And it'll cut a dog up too bad, too hard on their eyes and all. But, I ain't no coon hunter no more, Steve. I mean, I still kill probably close to 200 coon a year. I got out 3 or 4, 5 nights a week, and I'm going to kill 1 or 2 coon a night.
That's amazing, Glenn, because... You know, I hear the stories of a lot of the hunters today that all they do is just go to a night hunt on the weekend. They don't even hunt during the week.
That's right.
But when somebody's really a coon hunter, I think it's just down deep in their soul, and they just, when it gets dark, they got to go. What's your earliest memory of coon hunting? Did you start when you were just a boy?
I started when I was 7 years old and my brother.
I see.
I remember the first hunting I've ever went.
Wow. Tell us about that.
I fell in the woods took a couple of days from Thanksgiving last year and hurt my shoulder. And I thought I'd never get down again, and I was 2 months without going coon hunting. And my shoulder still ain't well, but I can live with it. But that's as long as I ever went without coon hunting that I can remember since I've been a 7-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Now, did your dad keep hounds?
No, he did not.
Okay. How did you get started coon hunting then?
My older brother, Leo, about everybody knows Leo. He was a wonderful coon hunter. He liked a medium hunting dog. I liked a hard going dog. But I started out, I'd had a fast dog or a shepherd dog. Anything I could get, it'd walk around the woods, hope I'd treat something.
Yeah.
And finally, I'd give $20, and I'd borrow it off my brother, bought me a blue tick hound. He wasn't worth 20 cents, but now I was tickled to have him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's amazing. How big was the ground, the farm that you grew up on?
Well, we moved over to Southeast Missouri when I was probably 4 or 5, and I started, my dad helped the guy wearing the sharecrop farm, and he got to farming on his own, and they bought some land. We originally from around Mobile.
Yeah.
And he bought land over here. Well, 1949, we moved back over here and had bought 300 or 400 acres of ground, and this road I live on, it wasn't even gravel and didn't even have electricity down it. And we had to walk to school, and I finished school there at Noble. And when I quit farming, I farmed all couple thousand acres. I never was a big farmer.
Well, that's a lot of ground.
And I farmed it, and me and my wife, I bought a 40 acres of ground down below me here a ways, and $3,200. And I didn't think I'd ever get that paid off.
Ah, isn't that something?
And we moved up about 2 miles as the house come up for sale up here, practically new house. And we made a few good crops, kind of getting up on our feet. And I seen it ain't be for sale at courthouse yard. And I didn't even tell my wife about it. I don't want to disappoint her. I didn't figure I'd buy it. And I went up there, well, I got it bought. Mm-hmm. And I didn't come home. I told the boys I had to go to the corner and get some parts. And I went to that sale, and I bought it, and I come home. And got my wife. I said, let's go up and ride up town with me. Let's get a soda pop. Okay. We come up here, I pulled in there. I had the keys to it. And I said, you like this place, Mom? It's been empty a couple of years. And if FHK sold it, you know, it's Courthouse Square. And I said, let's go in and look it over. Why, Dad, it's locked. I said, I got the keys for it. And she said, how'd you get the keys? And I said, this is mine, your house now. I said, no, it ain't. It's your house. And we come in. And we've lived there about 50 years now.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So she liked it then.
Oh, she grabbed me and hugged me and said, Dad, when did you know about this? And I said, oh, I seen it in the paper a couple of 3 weeks ago. And she said, well, you didn't mention it. And I said, well, I was pretty sure we wouldn't get it. And I didn't want to hurt your feelings. This is ours, but you know, it's been, we've lived around here actually basically all our life. Used to, me and my brother never load a dog in a truck to go hunting. We'd leave from the house. We'd hunt to midnight or so, and we'd get tired. We'd just come on home. Our dogs didn't even have collars on them. And the next morning, they'd be on the porch. We do it again the next night, but we could go in front of the house, back of the house, any way you wanted to. You didn't have to have a vehicle to go hunting. But you got up for miles after miles in Denver out here then.
Oh, what a wonderful time.
And now then it's 90% all level to grade. You got a well on about every 40 acres. That's rice country. And it's some of the good farmland there are in the world. They make as good a crops here as they do anywhere in the United States. But now it's expensive because they water it every week, and it costs a lot of money to pump them wells.
Well, you mentioned J.C. Ellis earlier, and I know J.C. farmed. His family had a lot of ground that they farmed.
Oh, they
did they farm more, around you there anywhere?
No, they was way south of me.
Yeah, right.
And they was up there. They own a lot of land up there by Paducah, Kentucky. I've hunted up there on his up in there.
Yeah. Did you go ahead, Glenn. Please.
I used a little merchant probably once or twice a month. James Merchant.
Yeah.
And Kenny Richardson, he stuck me down there on J.C.'s, or he said it J.C.'s, and I'm sure it was. And we hunted down there, and Frank Gideon meet me down Merchants, and we'd all get together and have big hunts down there. But now, me and Frank's been real close friends at 60.
Well, there isn't a finer fella in the sport of coon hunting than Frank Giddings.
No, we're about like brothers. We'll argue and all, but I'd think about sticking my head in a bar for him, and he'd do the same for me.
Yeah, I'm sure, because I've heard him speak fondly of you many times. I was up, I guess it's been about 3 years ago now this fall, but Frank hunted a young dog for me for a couple of months. I sent him up there to Frank. And so Randy Smith in Pennsylvania and I went up there to get the dog. Randy had one up there, and we hunted with Frank and Rob, his boy. And of course, years ago when I worked for you, Casey, I hunted with Howard Winchell, too.
Howard, he was one of the best.
Yeah, for sure.
I know Howard longer than I know Frank.
Oh, really?
I used to hunt dogs for Howard.
You hunted with the old Winchell's Jake dog then,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, many a night. I hunted them a lot, and I hunted a red and white dog for Howard. He gave me, I think, $300 to hunt it a month, and I hunted 2 or 3 months for him. I think I charged him $300 for all hunting, maybe. But there and there, and I met him up Merchant for him to get his dog, his red and white dog.
Uh-huh.
And boy, we beat Merchant like beating a drum that night. I can't remember what he was hunting. And Howard laughed. He told me, he said, "Glenn, I've been coming up here for 4 or 5 years. And said, this is the only time I've got to beat Merchant." I said, "Well, he got his butt kicked tonight, didn't he, Howard?" He said, "He sure did."
Well, James was a character, and it was fortunate for me that I had an opportunity when I was with the AKC at our national championship. I had a plaque made up and presented it to James, a Lifetime Achievement Award. I mean, nobody in the competition world ever won a world hunt three times, two times in 3 years, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was ahead of his time, Steve.
Yeah. Well, now, some of these guys might argue with me on that because they went to different registries and things, and I know there's been some dogs that were multiple winners. But the point is that back in the day when the night hunt started, James, you know, he was the GOAT, as they say, the greatest of all time.
At that age.
Did you start going to the hunts and hunting in competition? Do you remember?
In 1965, well, we bought our first Walker Jeep, bought it off of James Merchant, and out of Old Deep River, Mike. He was a world champion.
Oh, yeah.
And bought a bitch off of James Merchant. Never had her feet on the ground. It's been, in a pen. And we bred her, and she had a litter of pups before she was a year old, a few days before she's a year old. And that was my first top walker dog, one of them pups, Bible Merchant Buck. And everybody around there say, you young boys start fox hunting. They wasn't no walkers. There was walkers around us. They blue ticks, black and tan. Well, about 98% or 99% of them great dogs. And they say, y'all were starting box hunting, but about 2 years they went to buying their pups from us.
Yeah, yeah. You made believers out of them, didn't you?
That's right. But in 1965, there was four brothers out of this litter I'm telling you about. And at the time this picture was made, Mr. Bill Ritchie got put on cover of American
Is Cooner. He the one that had the Rockwell Dawn dog?
That's right. Yes, I put the last win on old Dawn she ever got for him.
Okay.
And old man Bill was a friend of the one that owned American Cooner, and they four brothers, and we hung all four of them one night together, and we killed 12 coons. And Mr. Bill was down there, and I was showing him that picture. And I done made all of my night champions. I'm at 17 months old.
That's
and
amazing.
And we had a picture made of that, and that's on the cover of September in 65. Cooner magazine on the cover of it.
Wow. Now, the other day, somebody contacted me and told me you were looking for a 1966 issue. Of America.
I thought that's when it was, but I got that magazine and I gave it to my brother. Well, his son made me a copy of it at Walmart, and I got it here by my chair now. And that was in September in 65.
Okay. Is that the picture you're talking about now?
That's the picture I'm talking about.
That's sure awesome. Was,
I like to have the original, you know, one of them, but yeah. I have got a copy of it.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, but, I'm glad that
them was four brothers, that's all night champion, and two of them, when they was a year old, you use them for check dogs, and the other two junk a little bit, but never did give a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Well, now, did you hunt with Johnson's Banjo?
I never did. I've went a bunch of times being a hunt when James had sold in JC.
Yeah.
And he told me he got $3,800 for him. I said, ain't dog living worth that. And he said, well, I don't know who's the dumbest. And JC bred 38 gyps for $100 a piece. And said he still got the dog. And I said, well, that's right. He sold old Bally for $3,000.
Yeah.
But I never did get time with him. I'm hunting probably 50 cash with Banjo too. He's the greatest competition dog I ever hunted with.
Uh-huh. Well,
I never seen Banjo too when I hunted with him lose a cast. And that's saying something.
Now, he was quite a tree dog too, wasn't he?
Oh, what'd make me mad? Well, it didn't make me mad. It hurt my feelings. That magazine come out for 20 years and it'd say Banjo 2 style tree dog. And Lord, they used that loosely. Banjo, whenever he go on tree, it sounded like he was having dog bites, dog hung in the fence, and everything else. You couldn't hear nothing. but he was trashy. I could go up there and me and Jane pleasure hunt through the week. And I could beat Jane pretty regular. You know, my dog wind up treeing more coon than his would. But I never did think I could beat him. I always wanted to draw him. But I think James kept us from hunting together. I think he got, you know.
You think he got involved in the draw a little bit?
Yeah, I know he did. And, but now he was the greatest tree dog that I ever heard. And this dog I saw, Lord Wilson, called him Skipper. He was a brother to Boone Creek Mike. Now he treated more like his daddy. than any of them I ever hunted with. He didn't have the volume, his daddy, but same style.
Now, Boone Creek Mike was out of, was he out of banjo too?
He was off of banjo too and a Deep River Mike Gibb.
I got you. Yeah.
That's the only thing in the banjo too cross on. But, I mean, he was the greatest tree dog. And I raised six litters off that, that dip that we had to bring the old buck first time. And I raised six litters, and her and Banjo 2 crossed pretty good. But that Deeper Mike beats all, I ain't ever crossed real good, Banjo 2.
Well, did you ever hunt, or I know you knew him and all, Buddy Gilbert. Did you hunt with Buddy any?
Yeah, I brought Buddy some. Buddy was... a lot of people didn't like to draw Buddy, but I never did pay a lot of attention to him and all. He'd try and take on. James Mercer said he'd make you mad, but he'd have you leading the dog out before you got in the woods. You know, got out of the woods. But
he was a politician then.
he was something else, Buddy was. But Buddy lived two hours from me, I guess. I never did pleasure out with Buddy much. I drawed him around some hunts.
Well, you mentioned the Houses Bawley dog that won the World Hunt. There's a fella there in my my dad's hometown of Dixon, Tennessee. Dr. Jimmy Jackson is the one that bought Bawley off of, off of Joe House.
Maybe he gave 5,000 for him, didn't he?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. But... yeah, man, I tell you, if you are a walking history book on these walker dogs back in the time when the competition between the breeders, you mentioned people like Merchant and you mentioned you know, Joe House. You haven't mentioned John Monroe. Do you hunt with John at all?
Yes, I've hunted with John. Me and John didn't get along too good when we were younger. I'm a good bit older than John. The first time I ever seen John Monroe, he was here at Noble, Arkansas at a state hunt. And water was everywhere, and he had a pair of little Japanese boots on, lace up. And of course, I was in my 20s, and he was probably in his late teens. And I said, "Bill, you got any hip boots?" And he said, "What do you mean, hip boots?" I said, "Well, you're going to get wet if that's all you're going to hunt in." He said, "I can wade as deep as you can." I said, "Well, I guess you're right." Well, come in about midnight, we had a wood stove there, and he backed up that wood stove and he wet his belt buckle. And I said, "Well, I seen you wade as deep as I did tonight." I said, "You do any good?" He said, "Hell no, I didn't do no good dang a dog in the state of Arkansas or no other state trick. I'm more with that." I said, "Bill, I'll tell you one thing, you don't get wet again." I said, "I'll bet you $50 that I got one out there in trouble. Will you take me where you went? And if he don't trick a coon, when we come out in the same amount of time, I said, I'll shoot him or give him to you." But later years we got to be good friends and back John Monroe told me out of his own mouth, he said, "Glenn," said, "you deserve a lot more credit than me and Merchant did. Said you was the one doing the work and we was the one getting the glory from him." I said, "I didn't want no glory." I said, Y'all won more than I ever did.
Well, they respected your ability as a houndsman, and that's what a lot of the fellas need today is somebody with your knowledge.
Stay back in them days, as Finley River Chief and banjo bred dog. I favored the banjo bred dog, but I was a real good Finley River Chief dog. And there's so much jealousy there, it's a shame.
Yeah.
They could have been a lot more good dogs if them boys, including James. James was the biggest duck in the puddle. And if James and Joe and John Monroe and them, you know, John was Been a river dogs.
And, oh, yeah.
And I'd take them bitches and cross them on banjo, too. Boy, I raised some real dogs out of them.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me, but Jane and them were too jealous. There's too much jealousy.
Well, that's true, you know, and that's always, and that continues to today, you know, with our breeders, so many things. I was just talking, the fellows are trying to get some kind of a National Hound Association going. And I told him, I said, well, I'll help you any way I can. I wish you good luck. But that's been tried so many times over the years. But houndsmen are their own worst enemy. You know, they're jealous or envious, you know, of their fellow houndsmen. And I know it's competition. You know, we're all competitive and we want to have the best dog in the bunch. When we turn one loose, to me, it wouldn't be any fun if I didn't beat you. You know, I mean, it would be fun, but I mean, what I'm trying to say is, I want to beat your dog as much as the next guy, you know.
Yeah.
That's part of being a coon hunter, but we got to come together. You know, we're going to lose the sport.
It's getting bad shape. It sure is.
Yeah.
And it's a crying shame because Lord only knows I've probably spent many nights, enjoyable nights. I mean good, enjoyable, what I love in the woods as anybody has. But of course, my time's done up, and I realize that. And every time I get to go hunting now, it's just a plus. But I've spent my time in the woods. I've trained my dogs. I've had some as good a dogs ever put on a leash. Like I say, I've had a lot more worse ones than I did good ones.
Well, what's been your favorite one down through the years? Can you name one that was your favorite?
No, I can't, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm probably six or seven that you give me my pick back, I wouldn't know which one of them I'd take.
I got you.
I know if I take one, I wish to duck the other one.
I got you. Well,
and I had one called Stud, and my brother and I had a buddy was one of the better coon hunters I ever hunted with, and he's real critical in a dog. And there's one dog I had was a two-year-old, and he could just about manufacture a coon. When he barked, mm-hmm. It's a tree goon, and you get chewed out, and you didn't have to say, I hope it's her.
Right.
And he died, and boy, he's a four-year-old. And my brother in the skate said, boy, Glenn, you're going to have a terrible job replacing him and get nothing like him, the way they put it. I said, I don't want nothing like him. I want a better one. And they just shook their head. But you know what, Steve? I hadn't found it yet, but I'm still looking.
Mm-hmm. Well, what have you got right now? What can you tell me about any of the dogs you got right now?
I've got an old Gip here. I love the cord dog. I had it back in the
Frank Giddings cord dog.
Yeah.
Rocker. I hunted with cord two or three times.
I studied him last year for Frank when boy went sir, you know, got old. I studied him, bred 17 bitches that summer in 2 months.
All right.
And I studied an old tail sack at 3 years in a row for Rob.
Okay.
I bred 45 bitches to tail sack it, more than they bred.
Yeah.
In 2 months at a time. So, in other words, I had him for 6 months.
Sure.
And old Cord was by far my favorite. I love the cord dog. I probably own 80 or 90 cord dogs.
I like the way he treated. He had that high-pitched mouth that you could hear him forever.
Yeah, well, he's one, you turn him loose, he didn't make things happen.
Oh,
that's what I like.
Yes, sir.
And my old Jip, she'll be 11 January the 25th. And I raised me a little pups off her and a dog over in Tennessee, Shane Law. You may know him.
I know
him. Fine young man. His son won the youth world. PKC. I had a dog called Diesel, and I've got a year-old pup out of her. I'm working now, a female. And I got a... And then this Jip, I got old Jip. Her daddy was off of cord, I'll always keep corn dogs if I can get it. You know, the blood of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've got a 4-year-old Jip that's off a little money and a dual grand bone collector Jip. It's a pretty nice Jip, you know, tree cones. You know, ain't the best, but she ain't the worst. But
now, did you hunt with B and Doug's from Compton, from Arkansas? Did you hunt with bone collector?
No, I never did. I owned five dogs out of him.
Okay.
And anyhow, I bred that 4-year-old Jip to a 1-year-old male that Shane got out of my old Jip. Goes back to cord about 4 times. I bred this 4-year-old Jip.
I see.
And I didn't have enough headache. Old man my age, boom, with a damn pup. But I went and bought a pup off of, I'm brain dead, Steve. Boy over in Missouri, poor ex-Floyd.
The Floyd dog. Yeah,
Terry Bennett.
Bennett.
I give $1,000 for a pup from him, and I thought, well, how crazy can you get? I guess I've got sin all my old days. But I was always a sucker for a pup.
Yeah. You like to train pups then?
I've done it all my life, and every one I get, I say, I ain't pulling no more of them. but it seems like I do. But
I always go back to them.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to do it, but you show me a good top dog, and I'll show you a good hunter, or he bought him from a good hunter.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, Glenn, I hate to be, I know that you are fighting that throat issue there, and I went through all that after I had that COVID. Did you ever get that? Have you had
it? Yes, I've had it one time.
Yeah.
And then it made me sick.
Yeah.
But my throat got sore and my tongue sore, like I'd scalded it. Well, I got thinking I might have it, so I went to the doctor yesterday and they checked it. Didn't have no flu or COVID one. They said I had a sinus infection. It drained down my throat and made my throat real sore.
Sure. Well,
but I haven't run no fever and don't feel bad. In fact, I wanted to go hunting last night, but I talked myself out of it.
Well, it's still pretty hot over there, isn't it? Or has the weather cooled down any for you?
Well, it cooled down. It was nice last night. I should have went, but I didn't.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be up like 95.6 today. It's going to be hot again.
Well, are you going to take the ride over to Indiana for Autumn Oaks, you think?
Oh, no, I won't. I'd love to.
Yeah.
Used to, I didn't think nothing about driving up Frank's, get up there dark and hunt all night and come in next morning. But anymore, I can't take him ride.
I understand exactly what you're talking about. I'm going to leave. Well, when this thing airs, we'll be, or we get this on this recording. Now, I've been recording you. You know that, don't you?
Well, you told me. See?
But here's what
I hope I intrude them. I'm sure you had to edit it.
No, not a word. But here's what I'd like to do. When your voice heals up a little bit, I'd like to call you back because we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Would you come back on with me and let's do some more?
When?
Oh, any time that's good for you.
Yeah, I just let my throat heal up.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You know, get where I ain't so hoarse.
Right.
Actually, I'm not, really ain't hoarse, but I am now. But, yeah, I mean, I first told Gary, I said, no, Gary, these people, I'm an old has-been. I ain't no coon hunter no more. I don't class myself as a coon hunter.
Man, you've earned
Frank
it, man.
And told me, said, yeah. And Glenn said, you're better than any of them hunts with me. And I said, no, you just prejudiced maybe, Frank, like that. But Well, yeah, I'll talk with you. I first told Gary as a night, they ain't never talking to an old man like me. A lot of good young boys that they hear.
Well, I can guarantee you, Glenn, that people are enjoying this. And I definitely want to call you back, and I hope that throat gets healed for you there, so you'll feel better and get out there with those hounds. How many dogs will you hunt together when you go coon hunt?
Try to keep an old pup. I start with a Jip quicker than they will anything.
Yeah.
I try to keep a good natured Jip, and I'll take them with them. And when they ever split tree, I take them loose from them, hunt them by themselves. But 99% of the time, and more, I just hunt one dog.
I got you. Well, Glenn, I sure appreciate you. And I'm going to, unless you've got something else that we need to talk about here before I let you go.
Yeah, I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
I understand you like to go to White River Bottom Mountain this winter. You'll come up here tonight with me. Now, I'm an old bachelor. We eat lunch meat, stuff like that.
Boy.
But you won't go hungry. And I've got a four-bedroom house. I got plenty of room. Just come up and bring a friend or whatever you want to and go coon hunting with.
I would love to do that, Glenn.
Mighty well.
Well, let's talk about that. We'll do that, and I'll talk to you.
We may not dream one coon, but I'll bet you one thing we'll have a good day.
Oh, I know that's for sure.
I'll show you. I know you hunted probably a lot more than I have in different states. But I'll guarantee you, I'll show you some of the good woods if the water ain't deep. That's our problem.
Yeah.
I'll show you some of the best woods you've ever put your feet in.
Well, that's going to go, as they say, on my bucket list. Before I kick the bucket, I'm going to have to do that. And I appreciate the invitation, brother. I really do.
You're mighty welcome. If you wasn't, I never was bashful, Steve.
I've spoken with you at the hunts and all, and I've always enjoyed it. But I was busy, and you were busy, and we didn't really have a time to visit, but I really appreciate the time we've spent here today, Glenn, and I'm going to call you back, and when you've had a little time, I'll check with you, see if that throat's healed for you, and we'll do it again, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. You
have a great day, buddy.
You too.
Well, folks, that is Glenn Young of Noble, Arkansas. 89 years old this past July, still enjoying the hound, still got a memory as sharp as a tack, hunted with many of the icons in the sport of coon hunting. And of course, without going back over the names, and I know that there's a lot more, so I'm going to be keeping in touch with Glenn, and we'll bring him back on the podcast. And what a wonderful hour I was able to spend with him. And I know that his voice was not up to par, but I think that you'll enjoy that as much as I have. I'm thankful for all of you that I saw at Autumn Oaks, and look forward to running the recordings that we made while I was there. Hope everyone had a safe trip back home. And I want to thank Buddy Woodbury and the good folks at W Hunting Supply and for Alpha Dog Nutrition, our sponsor there. I want to thank my good buddy Mark Zepp for providing the Zepp Lifetime Coon Squallers for our Wheel of Name spins. And in just a little while here, I'll be going on to Facebook and doing the spin for this week. But that's going to wrap it up for this week for the Gone to the Dogs podcast. This is your host, Steve Fielder. There was an old fella, preacher back in West Virginia that always said, "May the Lord take a liking to you." Goodbye, folks.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.